good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you may be joining us on our podcast, Digging Deeper in the Psalms. And today we have arrived at Psalm chapter 19. Trey Durden is with me, and we're excited to get to dive through this section of Scripture. Trey just told me this was the first section of Scripture that they made him memorize when he got into Bible school at Faulkner. How did that go? Did you get it all done?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it went really well. It's been a guiding light, you know, a great passage to keep in the back of your mind all the time when you're reading other scriptures. You know, this is almost like a prelude.
Yeah, that's good. So I'm going to ask you to close your Bible.
Yeah.
And I'm kidding. Let's read Psalm 19 together. Trey's going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Take it away.
All right. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the whole earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant and a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Thank you. That's good. 14 action-packed verses, just so encouraging, such power, I think, in these words.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Yeah, I love it. That's wonderful. So as you kind of read through there, what are some things that kind of jump out at you there, Trey?
Okay, so I really think that the fact that they speak without making a sound,
right,
maybe is a analogy or an illustration, you know, for us that we see every day. We see wonderful people who do so many things that are never going to be in a pulpit, you know, are never going to be maybe even teaching a class. But, you know, I think about my grandmothers, each of them, and the things that they did in their life. And there's no doubt, you know, their love for the Lord, their love for other people, there's no doubt because of, you know, they didn't use a whole lot of words, but one of them did, one of them didn't, but they sure said a whole lot.
Yeah, so you can see this from the illustration standpoint, like you're talking about. I think that's good. I never really considered that, but also, you know, from a evidential standpoint,
absolutely,
right? The heavens declare God. It is what we see in creation that leaves no doubt that there is a God. That he knows us, that he loves us, that we're not here on accident, we're not primordial goo that have transformed into something else. Day after day after day, the creation just cries out, you know, that God is.
Yes.
And I love that about this as well.
So yeah, absolutely. He goes right into the teleological argument and, you know, uses the sun. It rises on its course, and it has a course, you know, it follows its course to the end. Nothing can hide from its heat. This is evidence that he's pointing to that says, hey, there's a designer. There is a design to our universe, not just our bodies, which is obviously designed, not just everything around us here, but the whole universe. There's nothing that is untouched by the designing hand of God. He designed it. He's given everything purpose. He's given everything a path, and we would do well to walk according to it.
Yeah, that's good. You know, living in Arizona in the desert, I used to live on a street where there was no streetlights.
Awesome.
And so I could go out at night, and man, the sunsets are fine here, and the stars are fine here, but I don't think, until you've experienced it, it is so completely different to see that night sky, just billions upon billions of stars. You can see galaxies. It is absolutely incredible. And whenever I read this, I think back to home and
absolutely.
And our first house in the middle of nowhere in the mountains with no streetlights, and we could just sit out there for hours and watch. It was pretty cool.
And just sit there in awe.
In awe of
just
God.
In awe of God and of, I mean, I can't help but think about his promise to Abraham, as many as the stars in the sky,
right.
And you look up in our sky, which that's, completely overshadowed. We've got too many lights and we can't see it for all of its glory, but you get out west somewhere,
mm-hmm.
like where you're from, and you see it, you can see just so much more. And just think of even more back then when there were no artificial light.
Right.
None at all, nowhere. And so just the stars of the sky. And this is what he wants to do in our lives. Even us, he did it for Abraham, literally with people, but he wants to do it in our lives as well. He wants to show us that this is our inheritance. I mean, you look up at that sky, and it's declaring to you, you're not just here by accident.
Mm-hmm.
You are actually the heir of the God of creation. He has chosen you. He's chosen us to be his heirs to all of this glory. And so these are your stars.
Yeah, I like it. And with the breath of his mouth, it all came into existence. Wow. It's incredible. And it continues to expand. I mean, that's what the breath of his mouth does. It's incredible. But not only does he talk about the creation, he talks about the Word of God. And so let's kind of maybe focus in there on those verses from 7 to 11. What he kind of jumps out at you there? The law of the Lord is this, the precepts of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, all of these things. What do you see there?
This might be a stretch. When you think about the knowledge that we acquire, we want to acquire knowledge. We want to know more. And the only way really to come to an understanding, faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. So I want my faith to grow. That means I'm going to grow in my knowledge. I'm going to understand. Okay. Well, then James tells us, even the demons believe and they tremble.
Right.
They went to the best seminary that exist. They were in the throne room of God. They literally know all of these doctrines. They know all of the truth. They know all of these things, and yet they're still demons. It doesn't cause any change in their hearts. And so this, setting us up and helping us know, listen, you need to treasure the Word in your heart. This is going to make a huge difference in your life. And too often, I think, we do that, but then we rest in that knowledge.
Right.
And that knowledge becomes what brings our salvation. That knowledge becomes what makes us who we are. And that's wonderful for that knowledge to build us and to help us. But that knowledge actually should bring us to the point where we humble ourselves in faith and just bow before the throne and realize that knowledge, nor our goodness, nor our good, none of that actually saves us. Jesus actually saves us.
Right.
And so we're saved by grace through faith. And so while the Word of the Lord is perfect, it literally is perfect, and it's all trustworthy, and it's right, and it's clear, and it's pure, and it's true. All of these things, it's true. And so let's treasure it in our heart. Let's put it in there. But let's not let that be what we revel in. Let that be what we find our purpose or our meaning in life in. Absolutely. I'm not saying the Word of God's not important.
Right.
It absolutely is. It's the pinnacle. But our knowledge is not what's going to save us. But we have to have that knowledge in order to understand what does save us, which is
Jesus.
Jesus.
Hey, the Word in our head becomes conviction in our heart.
There it is.
The action with our hands. I'm sure you guys are probably getting tired of us saying that, but we're going to keep doing it because it's really important. I love how he says that it's the words of God, the law of God. It revives the soul. How many times do we search for other things to revive us? If I just had this new thing or that new thing or this new relationship, or if I just had that, then I would be joyful and I would just feel so much better.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you're missing the point.
This new truck, this
yeah.
new bass boat, this new boat.
Whatever it might be. Exactly. This new these new shoes to play some basketball.
I'm going to be so revived now. I'll jump higher.
New golf clubs. I'm going to play better
if I
just had them. What revives us is spending time with the Lord.
Absolutely.
And I think that's huge. And one of the things I mentioned in the video teaching, and I hope you've had an opportunity to look at that already. If you haven't, go ahead and head on over there and check it out when you're done with this. But is this idea of the precepts of the Lord lead to rejoicing in our hearts.
Yes.
And I don't think that's always how people view the Word of God. And I think most people see the Word of God as a joy killer, not a joy giver. And I just think we have completely missed the point. If the Word of God is a joy killer, then you don't know the Word of God nor the God of the Word.
Amen. You know, when you read the Bible, it should create in you a grateful heart. And grateful people are happy people. That is the secret to happiness. And we go chasing after happiness in so many things. But true happiness only comes through gratitude and an understanding of what He's done to save us, to change us, to give us what we have. And so, the reading of the Bible is just the most important thing that we can possibly do in the flesh. Mm-hmm. It's read the Bible, listen carefully to the Scriptures, commit it to memory, make it a part of every day. You know, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, you know, put it on your door and on your doorpost, yeah, and
find it between your eyes.
Talk about it when you're in the house and when you're on the way, when you rise up, when you lie down. Mm-hmm. Keep the Word of God right here in front of you all the time, because it will change everything about life, and it will make everything about life better.
Yeah, I like, too, this idea that by them your servant is warned, right? Yeah. And in keeping them there's great reward. So we can look at how God has responded to other people's rebellion and disobedience, and we can be warned by that.
Yeah.
Now, we think we're so much smarter too many times. Well, they did it, but I'm just so much more advanced than they were, or whatever, and that's not true. But I love that idea that God is saying, hey, if you don't learn from this, you're going to repeat the same things. You're doomed to repeat it, as the saying goes. And so use the Word of God not only to be your joy and that, but to recognize, you know, you don't have to learn everything by experience.
Right.
Some things you can learn by watching somebody else be a knucklehead and say, you know what, I don't want to do that.
Right.
And there's plenty of knuckleheads to look at in the Scripture. It's by we can be warned. And we also see the favor of God, right? Because He goes on to say, in keeping them there's great reward. And I said again in the video teaching, I don't think that's talking about heaven. I think that's talking about the favor of God that David experienced in his life now. So we can have that reward now, not just some future expectation of what He's going to do later.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're supposed to be little Jesuses, you know? I mean, in a sense, that sounds terrible, but we're supposed to be image bearers, you know? We're supposed to look like Him and talk like Him and act like Him. If we claim to follow God, then we ought to act like Jesus.
Right.
And that would make all the difference in our lives and in our relationships and the things that are going on. And it would help us correctly then be able to read, you know, verse 12. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. I know that He is God and I am not. And to be able to have that realization is truly monumental in the world, in the culture that we live in today, because this culture says you're your own God, you believe your own truth, you do your own thing. And the Bible teaches us that that is the way of shipwreck, that is the way of destruction, but that turning our lives over to Him, to the one true God, is the way of righteousness and is the way that's going to set us straight. Christians, we don't claim to have it all together. We just know who does.
Right.
And we know that we don't. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to say, hey, don't follow me. Follow Jesus.
Right.
I'm going to do the best I can to follow Him too, and I'm going to fall short.
Right. And you know, in the places that I get it right, then follow me there.
Wonderful.
In the places that I don't, learn from my mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, after sermons, and I know I've heard you say this before too, someone will say, oh, I really needed that. And both of us are like, yeah, well, I'm glad you did, because it was really for me. But
you just got to listen in.
You just got to listen in to what I was saying that I really needed. And so I'm glad that it helps other people, but I need them.
Hey, what's your verse 13 say? Mine says, keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. What is the word?
Deliberate sins.
Deliberate sins.
Yeah, keep your servant from deliberate sins.
I think that's good. I think sometimes we get to that place where we know it's wrong, but we do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that can be scalding to our conscience, that can be searing, and if we keep doing that long enough, then we can start to justify our actions. But David says, I don't want anything to do with those things, deliberate or even not deliberate, but I like that, presumptuous or deliberate sin.
Yeah, this intentionality that he's bringing up here is really throughout this whole thing, because he's looking at God, who has intention, who has set a path for the Son, who has set a path for creation. There is a design, you know, and here's that has to say there's, this purpose behind things. Mm-hmm. And so he's claiming, hey, not only is there purpose there, there's purpose here. I have intentionality. I need to point my heart in the correct direction, because there is a wrong direction.
Right.
And there's lots of wrong directions, right?
Well, and then he says, if I don't do that, then they're going to have dominion over me.
Right, yeah.
So if I don't get kept from my deliberate or presumptuous sins, then that's where the true trouble comes.
Yeah, it'll control me.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
That's big.
Yeah.
Well, let me finish by just saying this. May the words of your mouth,
yes,
and a meditation of your heart be acceptable in God's sight, who is our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. So glad you joined us today. I look forward to having you back here next time for Psalm chapter 20, almost halfway through book one. Hope this study has been a blessing to you, and we'll see you right back here next time. Take care. God bless.